Welcome to Healing Fire Ministries. We believe that you'll be blessed as you listen to this message. God bless you.
Bring your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. From verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26. Are you there? The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth." Over what? Hey. "And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." No snake will sleep on your bed anymore.
Amen.
Some of the things I'm saying, you think I'm joking, eh? One day a certain woman came to stay where we were staying. And she came and testified one day. And she said, "Ever since I've started living in this house, from when I was a child, there was a man who would come and sleep with me." Like sleep, not like sleep next door, next to, but sleep as in molesting her every night. And they said, "Ever since I started living in this house, not once has this man came. I decree no snake will come and sleep in your bed anymore."
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ah, Father. "And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Why don't you put your hands together for the word of God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as you are aware, I have been talking about the blessing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I have explained to you, I think today I'll be closing this series, as in January we'll be moving into other things. But I have explained to you that when God blesses, what he is essentially doing is that he is giving you permission to do something.
Amen.
When a person is blessed, and when we say this individual is blessed, it means that God has allowed that person to do and to flourish in whatever they are doing.
Amen.
Do you understand?
Amen.
When we say this is a blessed businessman, we are saying that God has allowed that person to be a businessman. And I told you that blessing means you have received permission, and it means that you have received the help of God. So anything that God allows you to do, he supports you with his help. So your speed or whatever you are doing flourishes not just by your strength, your own intellect, but by the supernatural help and power of God. One pastor, he bought, when he was in university, there was someone selling pens at the university. So he was moving to America and was selling his pen shop. Little kiosk, not even a shop, like a kiosk. And the pastor had $1,000 in his pocket. And he asked the man, he said, "How much is your shop?" And the guy said, $1,000. Then the pastor said, "This must be God." So he bought the shop. And he said when he bought the shop, the income of the shop was coins. How much is a pen, especially back then? So every day when you collect the money he has spent is coins. And instead of being depressed and said, God, why did you allow me to buy this shop? And he prayed. And all of a sudden, that same little shop where he was selling pens and pencils, with that shop he built his first house. You see, when God gives you permission, even selling pens will make you build a house.
Amen.
Pens. Could you ever think a pen could make you build a house? Your amens are not blessing me.
Amen.
So it is about the supernatural help that you are receiving from heaven. That makes the little thing you are doing become extraordinary.
Amen.
I can hear your amens. And when God blesses you, the outcome of the blessing is supreme happiness.
Amen.
It means you will be happy.
Amen.
If you are not happy and you are ever crying, it means you are not walking in the blessings of God.
Amen.
Push your neighbor and ask them, do you understand? What are they saying? So we have been talking about how to activate these blessings. Because many of you, God has spoken over your lives and has decreed that you are blessed. But some of you, you are living the opposite of what God has spoken. I made an example with Jacob. How that when he was born, God spoke and said to his mother, the younger one will rule the older one. And God has spoken that you are carrying not two children, but two nations. In other words, Jacob was destined to be a nation. You're not hearing what I'm saying. But when you zoom a little further into his life when he became an adult, he was unskilled, uneducated, unemployed, all the uns that you can find, he was there. And he was a mother's boy, just following the mother everywhere he went. Until one day his father was sitting down and realized that he is nigh to going to heaven. And he called Esau and said, Esau, sit down. Let me bless you. Then Jacob's mother remembered the word. Someone say the word.
The word.
Say it like you believe. The word.
The word.
And then the mother said, Jacob, we have to trick your father. He's about to make a mistake. To cut the long story short, they tricked the father and Jacob came and was blessed. From that moment onwards, his life was transformed. The guy who couldn't marry, all of a sudden he saw a sister and said, wow, and kissed her life. All of a sudden he was married. All of a sudden he had 13 children. All of a sudden, he was becoming a nation. You are blessed.
Amen.
You must learn how to activate God's blessing so that what he has spoken over your life, you start seeing it practically.
Amen.
Practically. So I've taught you about how prayer can activate that blessing. I've taught you about how fasting can activate that blessing. Today, I'll teach you another one. Come with me to Matthew chapter 6 from verse 1. Matthew chapter 6. We are reading from verse 1. Please turn your Bibles fast because I want to preach for 30 minutes only. And 10 minutes have already gone. Are you there? The Bible says, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Hallelujah. Now, today I'm teaching about giving. Giving has the supernatural ability to activate the blessing of God over your life. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Out to me, Lebiano. Nyaga chelet. It's okay. I preach the word of God, you make your own decisions. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. 1 Kings, chapter 3. Let's read from verse 1. 1 Kings, chapter 3, reading from verse 1. If you are there, can I hear an amen? Amen? The Bible says, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter, and brought her into the city of David until he made an end of building his house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places, because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon the altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit upon his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Hallelujah. Now here we see Solomon going to offer a sacrifice of 1,000 burnt offerings. A burnt offering in those days depended on how well off you are. Someone who was well off would give a cow and sacrifice a cow. So Solomon was the king. He couldn't sacrifice. If you were poor, you would sacrifice pigeons. Solomon went and sacrificed 1,000 cows. 1,000 cows. Now, today, a cow is plus minus 10,000 rand. You can imagine 10,000 times 1,000. You can do the maths. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
That's why it's called a sacrifice. And immediately when he made that sacrifice, it attracted the attention of God. Now, Solomon didn't become wealthy because he gave. His giving attracted God's attention. What made him wealthy is what he asked for. Because God said, "What should I give you? What do you want?" And he said, "I want, to cut the long story short, I want wisdom." And God said, "I'm surprised you didn't ask me to kill your enemies. You didn't ask me to make you wealthy." He said, "Because you have asked for this, everything you didn't ask for, I will give you." And that's what made him wealthy. Some of us, we pray wrong prayers. You have not because you pray amiss. That's what Jesus said. "Oh God, please, I need money for school fees." Hey, kappa, pelpa, bay, pelpa. Hey. The Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Then all these things that you need shall be given unto thee." So you are seeking all the things and forgetting the most important one, the kingdom and his righteousness. And that's why your prayers seem to be hitting the ceiling, and it seems as though God is not answering your prayers. What I have learned about God in my short walk with him is that he doesn't drop his standards for anyone. No matter how you can cry tears. Seek ye first. So when Solomon said, "God, I want to be a good king. I want to take care of your children. I want to judge wisely. I want to understand their issues." God said, you are touching my heart, the depths of my heart, Solomon. Because you are not asking for wealth. These things, even people who are not born again are asking for wealth, asking that I kill their enemies. A certain pastor one day was praying. Somebody owed him money. And every night he will lie down and call the name of that guy. In other words, God deal with him. If the guy was Steve Ovo, the pastor would just lie and say, "Steve Ovo! Steve Ovo!" Solomon did not pray such prayers. He said, "Lord, it's your children. You have given me this position where I'm king over your children. I need to judge wisely. I need to understand their issues." And God said, my boy, you have done well. I'll give you what you have asked for, and everything else that you didn't ask for, I will give it to you. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
But since we are talking about giving, you will realize that his sacrifice attracted the attention of Jehovah. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, in the Bible, so far, I've seen three types of giving. Someone say three types. The first one is what we saw in Matthew chapter 6, where the Bible talks about alms. Now, almsgiving is charity work, giving to the poor, giving to the fatherless, giving to the motherless, giving to widows. When you become a giver, more especially charity giving, you are giving to someone who cannot pay you back, someone who cannot return the favor. It has the potential, the power to activate the blessing of God. Because in Matthew chapter 6, what we read, the Bible says, when you keep doing this and you do it in secret, you don't make a show. Okay, we are coming to give. You don't make a show. He says, God will see what you do in secret and he will reward thee openly. In other words, when he blesses you, he will make news. People will be talking about you for days when he starts rewarding you. Amen. Can I hear a proper amen?
Amen.
Now, quickly, turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew 25 from verse 31. Matthew 25 from verse 31. Nompumelelo, open your Bible to Proverbs 19:17. So that when I finish reading Matthew, you can immediately read Proverbs. Are you in Matthew 25? I'm reading from verse 31. The Bible says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather, or shall be gathered, all the nations of the world. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Hallelujah. So God says, when you give to the poor, you are giving to me. When you give to the hungry, you are giving to me. When you clothe the naked, you are clothing me. When you visit the sick, you are visiting who? Me. Me here being God. So anytime you take care of someone who cannot repay you, who cannot return the favor, you are activating the blessing of Jehovah. I say you are activating the blessing of God over your life.
Amen.
Some of us are too inward focused. You only see you in your life, nobody else. You can't see anyone else. And that's why sometimes it seems as though God is not helping you. This may be one of the reasons that your blessings are not being activated. So when you become a giver by heart, and you have a heart for someone who cannot help themselves, and you do something about it, not like, eish, aha, shame, wait. Wait till some people are suffering, kosiam. And then you continue minding your own business. That aha, shame doesn't do anything. Amen. Your pity doesn't help anybody. Amen. But when you actually do something, take from your pocket and give. Take your clothes and give.
Amen.
Take your food and give.
Amen.
You are doing something to God.
Amen.
You know, one of my daughters here in church, Mom Ruthie, came to me. In fact, we were driving home. And Mom Ruthie told me about one of our daughters in church and said, hey, this young girl is really helping people with getting NSFAS and what so that they can be educated. When I heard it, it touched my heart. I don't think I said anything to her. I just heard it, but my heart was moved. Anytime I'm praying and I remember her, because of what I've heard she's doing, I always say, Father, remember her.
Amen.
You have not seen you do anything, so, you know, if I remember you in my prayer, I don't know what to say. But since I've heard that that one is helping other people in church, it moved my heart. Till today, my heart is touched.
Amen.
And I pray special prayers for her.
Amen.
Now, if she can move my heart, a human being, how much more the heart of God?
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Stop only seeing you. See others as well.
Amen.
If you can't give anything, at least you've got a mouth you can pray.
Amen.
At the least.
Amen.
Yes, Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17.
Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
He that had pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given, will he pay him again.
Read in another version. Does your phone have other versions?
Mercy to the needy is a loan to God, and God pays back those loans in full.
Mercy to the needy is a loan to God. So when you give to someone who cannot repay you, and who cannot help themselves, it's like you are borrowing God. You are lending to God. And God owes you. It's better to be owed by God than anyone else. Because when God pays back, the Bible says he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all. And God doesn't only repay in money. God can repay in husband. God can repay in wife. God can repay in health. I don't know whether you're hearing what I'm saying. Do you have another version? Read the same scripture in another version.
He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done.
He will reward him. Now he's saying reward. So when you are involved in charity work, doesn't matter whether you are giving to a Christian or an unbeliever, God takes it personally.
Amen.
You are doing it for him.
Amen.
He feels that it's my responsibility to take care of the poor. God feels that it's his responsibility to take care of the widow.
Amen.
He feels that it's his responsibility to take care of those who are parentless. So when you are giving to these types of people, it's like you are helping him, something that he is supposed to do. So he says, if you are doing it, you are lending to me, because it's my responsibility to take care of these people. In the book of Leviticus, God told the children of Israel, and he said that when you come to the land that I'm giving you, and you have planted, sown seeds, and you have a mighty harvest, he said, never reap everything. Let's say you have sown apples. He says, you must not take every apple from that tree. He says, some trees you must leave alone so that the poor can come and eat from those trees. So whenever you do that type of kindness, God takes it personally. You are doing it to him. Amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Thank you, sister. Your amens are not blessing me. I'm running out of time, but I want us to quickly come to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Acts, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Nompumelelo, read also Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 10. I'll read Acts, you read Hebrews. Acts, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2. Are you there? Quickly, quickly, my time is up. Are you there now? The Bible says, hey, why am I in chapter 11? Come on. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Can you see he gave much alms? Some of your Bibles say he gave to the poor, or he gave, you know, he was, what does your Bible say? Quickly, if you've got another version. The word for alms, what does yours say? Are you all reading King James versions? Remember, yeah, King James. Who's got another version? Sorry?
A generous.
He gave generously. Okay, what version is that? Navy. Okay. Please, if you've got another version, I just want the word for alms. ASV. Okay, everyone in this church read King James, eh? You people are spiritual. What does yours say? Verse 2. Chapter 10. Alms. Okay. Read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, quickly.
Hebrews chapter.
Yeah, King James is fine.
Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which he have shewed towards his name, in that he have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Hallelujah. God is not unrighteous that he should forget your labor of love. And what is that labor of love? That particular people that he's talking about there, where they saw Christians who couldn't take care of themselves, who were poor, they would go and give to those Christians. Amen. And bless them. Amen. God called it a labor of love. Anytime you care for somebody else, it moves God's heart. Now in Acts chapter 10, when you get home, read the whole story. You will see that because of this guy called Cornelius, who was a giver, God went and fetched Apostle Peter. And Cornelius, the Bible says he was from the Italian band, so he was not a Jew. He was not an Israelite. And if you remember Jesus one day, a certain woman came to him and said, my daughter is grievously ill. Please pray for him. Jesus answered and said, it is not good for me to give bread to dogs. So God had to visit Peter and showed him a vision and showed him all sorts of animals, crocodiles and everything. And those animals, according to Leviticus, they were unclean. the children of Israel were not allowed to eat them. And a voice came from heaven and said, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, I don't eat anything unclean. Then God said, don't call something that I have cleaned unclean. When he finished that vision, people came to his house and said, we are here for Peter. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter and said, follow them. When he followed them, he went to the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius explained, he said, I was just minding my own business, praying, and an angel appeared to me. And the angel said, go and call for Peter. And the angel gave me your address. Read your Bible. Then when Peter came, he started preaching. And Peter was reluctant because he only wanted to preach to the Jews. But as he was preaching, suddenly the Holy Ghost fell upon the house of Cornelius. When you become a giver, it activates the heart of God.
Amen.
And it activates the blessing of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Thank you, thank you. So, the first type of giving is giving to the poor. Do you understand?
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
Are you going to do it?
Amen.
God bless you for those who will do it. The second type of giving is giving to the house of God or for the work of God. Second Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 7. From verse 1. 2 Samuel chapter 7 from verse 1. Are you there? The Bible says, and it came to pass when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar. Cedar is a type of wood. But the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in thy heart, for the Lord is with thee. So David was sitting in his nice fancy home. You know, as a king, you can't live in an unfancy place. And he looked at his home, then he looked at the house of God, and he said, something is wrong. Because in those days, the ark of God was living in a tent. Tent. Do you understand? Tent.
Amen.
And the king was living in a house built with timber. And David said, this picture is wrong. Now, he just thought it. He had not even done it. He had not done anything. It's just in his mind. Let's look at God's response. Verse 4. And it came to pass that night, the same night that he thought it, that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus said the Lord, shall thou build me a house to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with all the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, why build ye not me an house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus said the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be a ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more. Neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he shall make thee an house. And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my sake, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Put your hands together for the Lord. Now, when I read the scripture for the first time, I wept tears. I cried. And I vowed to God and I said, Father, I promise you, I will build you a house. Now, I was touched by the Lord in his response to David's desire to build him a house. And he said, David, will you build me a house? And he explained that I've been working with the children of Israel for years. Not once did I ask them to build me a house. You, will you build me a house? And the Lord said, because of this, I will bless you with a transgenerational blessing. A blessing that will not only affect you, but will affect your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And he says, I will establish your throne forever. Forever. Because he decided to give unto the work of God. He decided to give to the house of God. He said, I will establish your throne forever. Now, what that meant is basically, God was saying that Jesus is going to come from your lineage. If you read the New Testament, you will see a lot of people refer to Jesus as the son of David. There was a guy called blind Bartimaeus. One day he was sitting there and he heard some commotion and he asked some people, what's going on here? And they said, Jesus is passing by. When he heard it, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do you know who's Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But God will be called the Son of David because David said he wants to build God a house. What an honor. What a blessing. What favor. Anytime the children of Israel sinned, God will say, but for the sake of David, my son, I will not destroy all of you. Because he had decided that I want to build God a house. You want to build Woolworths a house. You want to build Pep a house. You want to build, what are the shops? Ackerman's a house. Then your blessing will come from Markham's. Your blessing will come from Ackerman's. Some of you, end of the month, you feel like crying. When it's time for you to celebrate because you are going to earn money, but you are distressed because your phone, the SMSs just keep coming and you just see your salary being minus. Pep comes, takes 300 rand. Ackerman's come, takes 150. Who else comes? Woolworths comes, take 300. FNB comes. All of them are coming for your salary. I know you don't know what I'm talking about. So I understand you don't know what I'm talking about. You are busy making those people wealthy, who when you're sick, you can't run to them. One time, I had gone to the doctor, you know, to do, what was I doing? I can't remember. I think I was just checking, going for a checkup. And the doctor was taking my blood. So as I was sitting there and they were taking my blood, a certain woman came, they wheeled her in with a wheelchair. You understand? I mean, as I looked at her, I'm not a medical person, but just from my eyes could see that this person is in trouble. And then she explained to the doctors that she was in Dar, Mamelodi Hospital. And she said she was there for days and she's not being helped. So she discharged herself and she has come here now. And that was, it's sort of like a clinic. It's not a hospital. So they told her that, look, we can't help you. We can't keep you here overnight. You have to go to a hospital. And that woman didn't have medical aid. So they were going to send her back to Dhaka, the one that she, no one was not helping her. And the woman said, no, take me to a proper hospital. And I said, look, these things are not cheap. Just to get a bed before you've even slept a night, just for you to get a bed is 60,000 rand. Then they will start treating you and you start paying. When the woman heard that, she realized that, hey, diabo. So we give money to all these people, but they don't really care about us. My father, in 2014, in November, he went to hospital for a checkup, for a monthly checkup. My father had a little belly, and all his life he was a thin man. So when he started developing a belly, he was so happy. He said, now I'm a man. He was walking in confidence. It's like in our culture, when you marry, you must develop a body because to show that your wife is taking care of you. If you remain thin, then people will start looking at your wife some way. In our culture. So when my father started gaining some weight, he was very happy. So when he went to hospital for a checkup, the doctor said, aye, man, your belly is too big. I said, let me check. And they saw a little growth. And they said, hey, you have to sleep here. You can't go back home. So he slept. And they said, we see a growth. And they said, we have to operate. They operated him. They took it out. When they checked it, it was not cancerous. But they said, it's still good to take it out anyway. When they closed it up, my father never got well. He became worse and worse and worse. When they finally found out what happened is that when they operated him, he got infected. And that infection started shutting down his organs, his kidneys, his lungs. Everything was starting to shut down. And on the 14th of December, my father passed away. 14th of December, 2014. Now, what shocked me the most is that days after my father had died, we started receiving letters from the hospital. You owe us for this medication. You owe us for this. And I was like, but he's dead. What payment do you want? You didn't help him. He walked in by himself. And then he came out being carried. But you still want us to pay you. And many of us, we just keep giving monies to these people. But when it's time to give to God and to the house of God and the work of God, be careful. When David even thought about it, he hadn't given. Just the thought. God's heart was touched. And God blessed him, not just him, but all the generations after him. Some of you, now, your children, when you sleep, you cry tears. This is your today. How much more when you have died? But through David's giving, he secured his children's blessing. That even when he was dead and the children were misbehaving, God said, because of David. Because of David. Because of David. I want to see Woolworths doing that for you. I'm waiting for somebody to come and give a testimony. Not long ago, we had a story. Is it Old Mutual? A family was giving monthly for one of those policies of Old Mutual. Then the family member died. Then Old Mutual said, we don't believe he's dead. It was in the news. You didn't see it. Then the women took the dead body to the offices of Old Mutual and say, here, look, he's dead. Because Old Mutual didn't want to pay. Only when they notice it's in the news, then they say, oh, okay, no, don't worry, we'll pay. Don't worry, we'll pay. Because the whole world was now saying, what is this? People were starting to say, hey, take your money from Old Mutual. Because they won't pay. When they realize we're going to lose money, hey, wait, we'll pay. We'll pay everything. And you trust these people so much. But you will not give to your God. When it's time for offering, the whole service, you are saying, amen. When we say it's time for offering, we are watching you. Unfortunately, I've run out of time, but there's so much more I want to say. Can I give you two more scriptures?
Amen.
Are you sure?
Amen.
Come to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 from verse 1. Quickly, please write it down. I'll read it for you. I'm really out of time. Just write it down. I'll read. You read when you get home. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 from verse 1, when you get home, read up until verse 9. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God had chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might. Listen to this man. I have prepared with all my might. Might here means with all my strength, with all my ability. I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Not for my children. Not for my family. For what? Are you here?
Amen.
For what? He says he prepared the gold for the things that be made of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, and iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones, and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones, and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, to set my affection means I have fallen in love. I have decided to love the house of my God. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He said, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own and proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And he begins to list. So David, because he was a king, he took the wealth of Israel and put it aside so that his son Solomon can build the house of God. And he said, I've not only taken the money from the government of Israel. He said, even my own wealth. Some of your version says, I took from my own fortune and I have given to the house of my God. No wonder he was such a blessed man. No wonder when God spoke about him, he said, I have found a man after mine own heart. When you read on the rest of the chapter, you see that he received in a vision the architecture of the house of God. And he gave it into his son and said, this is the design. Build it like this. His heart was in it. And he gave. One day I drew up my budget, my monthly budget. Some people don't even do a budget. And I wanted to see where all my money goes. So 10% goes to transport. This percentage goes to this. This percentage goes to this. And I wanted to see how much percentage goes to God. And I realized that most of my money, I was giving it to the house of God. But you, most of your money is going to Edgar's. Spatlos. And some people are always crying because some people, their money always goes to alcohol. One day when I started working, I went to open a bank account. And the guy who was opening my bank account asked me, he said, do you drink? I said, I don't drink. He said, hey, you are helping yourself. I said, really, why? He said, you know, you can go to a club. He didn't know as a pastor, he was just talking freely. He said, you know, you can go to a club and you can spend 2,000 rand a night. I said, 2,000?
We believe you've been blessed by this message. For inquiries, please call us on 081-81-60153 or send us an email at healingfireministries@outlook.com.